Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the daf to view today's marked Tosfos using the popular Gemara marking system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. So we turn to Daf Lamed Aleph, and we will pick up with the third Tosfos on the Daf, the first two having been part of our Daf Lamed Shir. So here, Tosfos for Daf Lamed Aleph, HaMekiz Dam Bevehemas Kochim. This was quoted in the Gemara as one of the Halacha Psukos that are recommended to study before starting Shmon Esrei. And it featured the bloodletting of an animal that was sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara said that the blood that's released in this bloodletting is forbidden to derive personal benefit from, and if one were to derive personal benefit, he would be guilty of mi'ilah. The Koshe, Tosfos asks, Domer Paragimel d'Avodah Zorah, it's mentioned in the third parak of Maseches Avodah Zorah, Gabi Domim Chitzonim V'Domim Pnimim Shel Korbonos, regarding the different bloods of sacrifices. We know that when something is sacrificed, so the blood is gathered and then sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And it mentions, it deals with blood that's left after the sprinkling took place. It's then spilled and onto the corner of the Mizbeach, and it's carried out through a stream to outside the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, regarding those different bloods of internal korbanos, external korbanos, Elu ve'elu nimkorem leganonim lezevel, the blood is sold to the people that had ganonim, or gardeners, people that had agricultural plots outside the Beis HaMikdash. It was sold to them as fertilizer. Alma di'ein mo'alin bohen, well, you can see that there's no prohibition of benefiting from it. The yesh, and so how can you say here that the blood of a kochim is the bloodlet blood of kochim is subject to mi'ilah when you see sacrificial blood is not subject to mi'ilah? The yesh lomar, the answer is the hosam hainu la'achar zrikas domim ukvar niskapru bailim. The blood referred to there was after it was used for its mitzvah, after the sprinkling of the blood was done, and the owners received their necessary atonement. Masha'en ken hocha, as opposed to the blood we're talking about here, when the animal is still alive, it hasn't been used yet to perform the mitzvah. The general knowledge is that when the mitzvah was done with it already, after the mitzvah was done, so there is no longer any me'ilah. And that's what was described over there. However, here, the mitzvah wasn't done yet with the blood, hence it still retains the me'ilah prohibition. The Gemara mentioned, as far as how to ready oneself for davening, so we saw the brisa that we just made reference to of studying a halacha psuka, and we also had learned in our mission of getting oneself into the right frame of mind, one frame of mind that we would classify as serious. So we saw that the Rabbanan practiced like the Mishnah, getting themselves into what's called Koivid Rosh, and Ravashi following the Brisa, namely Halacha Psuka. Tosfos, Rabbanan Avdi Kemasnisin, V'Kavasaihu Kaimolon, and we follow their approach, meaning getting oneself into the right frame of mind. V'Lochein Ein Mispal Mitoch Kalis Rosh Shchok, therefore we don't start Shmon Esrei just after having heard a good joke or being in a state of levity. Elo Mitoch Koivid Rosh V'Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Rather, in a state of seriousness or a state of simcha shel mitzvah kagon she'osak b'divrei Torah. Here, Tosfos gives his explanation of simcha shel mitzvah. Rashi had offered his explanation, and we spent time on that during our Gemara Shir. You can see the Rashi that says kagon divrei tanchumin shel Torah, and he likes smichas gula l'tfila, or the Ashrei passage, and Tosfos says Simcha Shel Mitzvah is like someone who right before doing the Shmon Esrei, saying the Shmon Esrei, he was Oisik B'Divrei Torah, he studied Torah. L'chein Noagu Lomar P'sukei D'Zimra V'Ashrei Kodem Tfila. And it's for that reason that we also have the practice of the all the different passages that form the Shacharis davening that precede the heart of Shacharis, meaning the Kriya Shema and Shmona Esrei. We recite Psukei Dezimra and Ashrei. Ashrei is characteristic especially of the Mincha service to fulfill the Simcha Shel Mitzvah requirement. Rav Ashi Ovid Kibraisa. Yerushalmi, in the Yerushalmi it says, Lo Yamod V'Yispala Lo Mitoch Devar Halacha. One should not start his Shmoneh Esrei unless he is entering the Shmoneh Esrei from a state of learning halacha. Amrav Yirmiyahu Oisek B'Tzorchei Tzibor Ka'Oisek B'Divrei Torah Domi. If someone is involved with communal responsibilities and is engaged in working for the community, that is like entering the Shmoneh Esrei from a state of Torah learning. So that if someone, let us say, finished cleaning up a shul or setting up the chairs or passing out sidurim, and from that activity starts Shmoneh Esrei, that would be fine. Shekein motzinu b'neviim harishonim shesimu divrei divrei shevach v'tanchumen. The Tanaic source in the Gemara had mentioned that a person, when departing from his friend, should do so from having been involved with some type of halacha, mentioning some divrei Torah to his friend, and as we find with the Nevi'im as well. Umaksha b'Yerushalmi chutz miYirmiyah. V'haksiv ki im mo'is me'astanu. The Gemara, having said that the Nevi'im Harishonim conclude their words with words of praise and consolation, that is true, with the exception with the exception of Yirmiyo, who wrote what's called Megillas Eicha, and the end of that piece of work is one of a depressing, certainly non-conciliatory nature, where it says ki im ma'os me'astonu, which has to do with the Almighty disdaining us. Miu mehu kroy desof treil sover keheles lo porach midi. The Yerushalmi, when raising its question regarding the way Nevi'im conclude their works, doesn't raise a question from these other works, the end of Treyasor, or the end of Koheles, Shechoshvo B'Toiv, B'Divrei Tanchumen, V'lo Mayri B'Pur Onus Yisrael. Those concluding the words concluding those pieces of work are not viewed as words of impending punishment or danger. U'motzo B'Zovas Acheres. Regarding Rabbi Akiva's Shmoneh Esrei practice, the Gemara indicated that he would start in one corner and you would find him in another corner as a result of the bowings that he did during his Shmoneh Esrei. Tema, the question is raised. Yomar leKamon, it says later in this perek, Habo lishchus b'soif kol brochu brocha, someone who comes to bow at the end of every brocha, melamdin oiso shelo yishche. We teach him not to do that. In other words, a multitude of bowings is something not to be done. So how do we explain Rabbi Akiva's behavior in light of that Gemara? We have a couple approaches, and we've denoted them with our triangles. The Tiretz Harav Rabbi Yosef, the Hocha Mayri Be Tachanunim Shoya Oimer Achar Shmoneh Esrei Brachos. The Rabbeinu Yosef suggests that it was taking place during his prayers after he completed the 18 brachas constituting the Shmoneh Esrei. V'lo Nihiro Toisves himself doesn't like this approach. It doesn't appear to be the explanation. Daha mi Shmoneh Esrei Ka'omar. The Gemara itself, when mentioning Rabbi Akiva's practice, it mentioned that this took place as part of the Shmoneh Esrei. V'nire lehari devadai besoif kol brocha asur lishchos. Certainly, it's forbidden to bow at the end of every bracha. Aval the ensa habracha miyom mutter lishchais. The prohibition is one specifically at the conclusion of a bracha, where we say Baruch Ato Hashem. If one were to bow there, outside of the formal dictated four bowings, beyond that, there is a prohibition. But once again, that's specifically at the concluding bracha of each section, of each paragraph, of each individual bracha. However, in the middle, the answer bracha miyamutu lishchos. In the middle, if one wants to bow, he can do that. Ubahacha, ubahachi mayri hacha, and that's what is described here. That Rabbi Akiva became very intense in his davening and bowed in the middle of each of different brachas. Kshoya magila soif bracha yezoykef. And when he got to the end of each bracha, he would actually straighten out his posture. And based on this, the common practice amongst the public on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Shemispal in Zochreinu, Uvechein Tein, the similar different paragraphs within the Shemona Esrei, Shesheichen Ukshemagim Lapsukim, they bow when they get to these different psukim. Ubesoif bracha zoikven shein lishchos besoif brachas ela hecha detikun. And at the end of the brachas, people would stand erect, for there is no one is not allowed to bow other than the formal four places where bowing is dictated. We continue at the top of Amud Beis, Dovar she'eino hogun. We saw in the Gemara that we learned that if one sees improper behavior in his friend, he should point it out. Pirush afagav deleko isur doraisa. Even though this idea in the Gemara of if you see improper behavior, we're saying even if it's not a Torah violation, nevertheless one should point it out to his friend. Deiko isur doraisa, if the matter in question was a Torah violation, pshita, then I wouldn't need to prove this from psukim in Sefer Shmuel. Hoicheach tochiach siv. There's a pasuk in the Torah itself which says that one must admonish his friend upon a Torah level violation. Gavra beguvrin. This is one of the different pshatim that we saw when she would pray for Zera Anoshim. So the first pshat was Rav's pshat, who said Gavra Beguvrin. Pirush, what does that mean? Adam Shechoshuv Limonos Bein Anoshim. An important person, that she was praying for her son to be an important individual, someone who would be worthy of being appointed or counted amongst others. The next Tosfos really should have been on Omid Aleph, Mikan Shishikor Osur Lispalel. From the story involving Chana, we learned that from Eli's words to her that one who is inebriated is forbidden to pray. Yushami Maseches Trumas Perakama Rabbi Zera Boy Kame De Rebbe Ami Shikor Ma Shivorech. Can a person who is intoxicated say Birkas Hamozen? Amalei, the pasuk says, V'yachalta v'savato v'rachta, V'afilu medumdom. Pirush, V'afilu hu shosui, even if he's inebriated, V'shikor, kol kach shenu yochol ledaber koroi, and unable as a result of his alcoholic content, is unable to speak, to converse properly. Nevertheless, he shall say Birkas Hamazon. He shall bench. The Hochi Mashma V'Savoto Uveirachta. The words of the Torah describing or dictating Birkas Hamazon say that once even V'Savoto, you're satisfied, and that's after a meal, and it, part of people's meals involved drinking beverages that could very well be intoxicating. Nevertheless, that does not restrain someone from Birchas Hamozon. There's a fundamental difference between Birchas Hamozon and Shmona Esrei in so far as, well, first of all, the Birchas Hamozon, we have this pasuk, and second of all, the Shmona Esrei is a state in which a person is standing opposite the Almighty, so to speak, in a on a a one-to-one relationship. We actually saw a reference to this in a previous Gemara, which described the difference between Kriya Shema and the type of dress one must have for Kriya Shema. One can actually be bare-chested for Kriya Shema, as opposed to Shmona Esrei, where that would not be acceptable. And the Gemara had mentioned that in the case of Shmona Esrei, one is considered standing in front of the king, as opposed to Kriya Shema. So here, too, we can make a similar distinction. The next place is Mikan She'osu Leshev V'dalet Amos Shel Tefila. The Gemara pointed out that we learned from Hana that she was standing and davening, and Eli was sitting 5 amas away from her, but not within 4 amas. Now, this shiur, this distance of 4 amas, Tosfos says, Bein milufonov, bein ubein min hatzdodim, whether it be in front of the person davening or to the side of the person davening. One should not be within their 4 amas. Approximately 2 meters. Upirshu tshuvas hagaonim dafka biyoshiv ubotel. This restriction is only with regard to someone who's sitting in a state of non-activity or sitting not doing anything. Avol himhoi oisik bekriyashma v'vichoseho v'chayyotze bohem. If, however, a person was involved with reciting kriyashma and its brachos, or something of a similar nature, we can assume something like Torah study, afilu yoshev shapir domi, even if he is seated, that would be okay. This topic, of course, is an example of many of halacha lemaisa, and we, in the context of our Gemara markings shiurim, do not claim to state final halachic rulings at any point, and hence, in order to come to such conclusions, further research is necessary. Imcha, which is Tosfos we learned during our Gemara Shir as well. Imcha, mashma, besoch, arba amos. The word imcha, spelled without a hey at the end, but rather a final chaf, would imply within 4 amos, together with you. What's togetherness? Within 4 amos is called together. So imcha mash besoch arba amos mishum dechsiv imcha mole behei. Since the word here appears with a hey, kloma shelo hoya yoshe besoch arba amos shelo, he Eli was not seated within her 4 amos kiim bechamishis, but rather in her 5th amo, as the letter hey represents. The Gemara pointed out that Shmuel was guilty of moira halacha b'fnei rab choat. Eli said, you are saying very well in your conclusion regarding shechita, the slaughtering of a korban can be done by a non-kohen, but it's you are in effect issuing a halachic ruling in front of your teacher. Now, Tosfos points out quite interestingly that Shmuel had not learned Torah from Eli at this point. We pointed out that Shmuel was very young when this took place. Even though Shmuel hadn't actually learned from Eli at this point, Eli was the towering Torah personality of his generation, and he had come to learn from him. So that being the case, the same restriction applies of Meira Halocha Bifnei Rabcha. Kol Hayoshe B'tainis B'Shabbos. The Gemara had mentioned that one who observes a fast day on fasting on Shabbos will be merit having an evil decree, a heavenly wrought evil decree torn up. Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel. B'tainis Chalom, when we speak about someone observing a fast on Shabbos as being something very, quite praiseworthy, meritorious, that's a reference to someone who is observing a fast because of a disturbing dream or series of dreams that he had. V'chein Esau b'medrash Tehillim, and thusly it says in that work known as Medrash Tehillim, U'chiyoshe b'tainis Chalom b'Shabbos, Pirush Bahag She'omer Anenu Belekai Mitzor. If someone does observe a Tainus Chalom, a fast, because of this disturbing dream on Shabbos, the Bahag says that he should say the special passage characteristic of public fast days. He, this private person, shall say the Anenu passage. in Elokein Netzor, Vafilu Koivea Brocho Liatzmoi, and he could even have the sign of Brocha that is said with Anenu when a Shliach Tzibur, for example, says Anenu. There's a special Brocha that signs it off. Kevon She'enu B'Sof Shmon Esrei, since it's not, he's not adding this in the Shmon Esrei itself, so it's felt that this is acceptable.